Now, the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Thursday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. We have three martinis. In some ways, they're good, bad, and crazy. In many ways, it's just perhaps all crazy or all bad. But, Jim, there's really no bad martinis today. If you're a Chicago sports fan, particularly if you're a fan of the Northsiders, after a brief 108-year drought of winning the World Series, the Chicago Cubs, in dramatic fashion, not only managed to win a game after blowing a large lead late in the game, they come back from a 3-1 series deficit. And so for Chicago sports fans like me, while the Blackhawks have won a couple of Stanley Cups, three of them actually in the last few years, hockey's not really my thing, so this is the first truly invested world championship since the Bulls run of the 90s, and it feels good.
Happy for every Chicago Cubs fan. I remember earlier this year wanting to make some sort of baseball metaphor that I was writing for, and I was like, you know, yeah, it's like the Cubs winning the World Series or something. And I was smart enough to look up the standings. I'm not a day-to-day diehard baseball fan. I saw the Cubs were in first place. So everybody who's had a, that'll happen when the Cubs win the World Series, all of those cliches, all of those expressions are gone now. You can't make a sitcom about a lovable Chicago guy with those lovable loser who always roots for them and sits over by the ivy and stuff like that. It's been so incorporated in this team's identity. It really feels like the world is turned upside down. And look, if it can happen for the Chicago Cubs, Greg, it can happen for the Chicago Bears. It could even happen for the New York Jets someday. So, I'm happy for all the Chicago Cubs fans. Wonderful to see Bill Murray and everybody else feeling joyous. And look, who knows? Maybe it'll only be 50 years till the next one. Who knows?
It could be.
This could be a dynasty.
Yeah, exactly. A lot of folks saying, hey, can't wait till the next one in 21-24. That's the next 108-year gap. But Jim, it was 2016. Was there really any question that something this odd or unlikely was eventually going to happen this year? And it only makes you wonder what's going to happen less than a week from now in 2016.
Cubs winning the World Series, God, that's as outlandish and unlikely as, a presidential candidate getting indicted or something.
Great lead into all three martinis. Excellent, excellent work by Brett Baer of Fox News. And we're going to be listening to him extensively here. This is from both his reporting on his own show, Special Report, as well as hopping across the hall to the set of On the Record with Britt Hume. We'll tell you which one's from which, but this was the first breaking news of this. Brett Baer reporting on Special Report yesterday about not just one, but two FBI investigations into Hillary Clinton, one on the emails, one on the Clinton Foundation.
Two separate sources with intimate knowledge of the FBI investigations into the Clinton emails and the Clinton Foundation tell Fox the following. The investigation into the Clinton Foundation, looking into possible pay-for-play interaction between Secretary of State Hillary Clinton and the Foundation, has been going on for more than a year, led by the White Collar Crime Division, Public Corruption Branch of the Criminal Investigative Division of the FBI. The Clinton Foundation investigation is a, quote, very high priority. Agents have interviewed and re-interviewed multiple people about the Foundation case. And even before the WikiLeaks dumps, these sources said agents had collected a great deal of evidence. Pressed on that, one source said, quote, a lot of it. And there is an avalanche of new information coming in every day. Some of it from WikiLeaks, some from new emails. The agents are actively and aggressively pursuing this case, and they will be going back and interviewing the same people again, some for the third time.
And then the next hour, speaking with Britt Hume, Britt got to the timetable issue of all this.
This does not sound like something that's going to be completed anytime soon, which suggests that if Hillary Clinton is elected, she will take office with not one but two serious investigations of her past conduct hanging over her.
Definitely. And I pressed again and again on this very issue. And these sources said yes. The investigations will continue. There's a lot of evidence, and barring some obstruction in some way, they believe they'll continue to likely an indictment.
Jim, I remember back in July after Comey announced he was not going to recommend prosecuting Hillary, he was at a congressional hearing, and somebody asked him about the Clinton Foundation, and he kind of dismissed it, saying, I don't talk about other investigations. But then we heard reports more recently that the Justice Department had spiked investigations into the Clinton Foundation. So obviously, if Brett Baer's reporting is true, those other ones are not. So double-pronged FBI investigations, which could lead to indictments, hanging over the Clinton campaign with just a few days before the election.
A lot to unpack here. Let's begin with, you know, we thought it was historic for a presidential candidate to be under investigation by the FBI for one crime. Little did we know, Hillary Clinton is under investigation by two separate divisions by the FBI. That takes effort, right? There are not many criminals who end up being investigated by the national security side and the white-collar crime side at the same time. She really does build bridges, I think, we can say, Greg. From the moment of Clinton Cash, the Schweitzer book, you know, there's kind of been this sense like, God, how is this legal? How is this not, you know, pretty much textbook bribery? It's pay for play, people buying access, people buying friendships to a likely, you know, potential next president of the United States. And lo and behold, it turns out it was. The FBI did notice, and the FBI did find this interesting. Now, we don't know for certain there's going to be an indictment. I think out of all the, look, you know, I'm trying to pick the most intriguing thing that Brett Baer said, but at one point yesterday, Greg, he said, barring some obstruction in some way, gee, I wonder what he could mean by that, they believe they will continue to likely get an indictment. But you know what's missing in that sentence? The noun of who?
Yes, exactly.
An indictment of who? Like, an indictment of Huma Abedin? An indictment of Cheryl Mills? An indictment of Hillary Clinton? You know, all of them are bad for Democrats. All of them would be bad for a President Hillary Clinton, assuming it doesn't happen in the next 5 days. But one of them would be like, you know, constitutional crisis, and the other ones would just be giant embarrassments. Although maybe that one, you know, maybe an indictment of Huma Abedin would be a similar level constitutional crisis. Look, you know, if you're the Hillary Clinton campaign, the dark cloud above your campaign just flashed some lightning and the torrential downpour just began. And the question will be, you know, does this affect voters' thinking? Does it change things? This is, you know, does this turn into something that costs her the presidency or just, you know, turns into a lingering scandal and problem on her presidency? We'll know in a couple of days, I suppose.
We knew she was a history-making candidate, Jim. She and her allies, of course, wanted it to be about her chromosomes, but two FBI investigations simultaneously right before the election. That is a special accomplishment. So congratulations, Hillary. On to the bad martini now, as if the double FBI investigation of the presidential frontrunner was not bad enough. Brett Baer, also speaking with Britt Hume on the record, got to another issue that, of course, the Clinton people have denied for a long, long time. But according to Brett Baer's FBI sources, our national security may have been deeply compromised.
We learned that there is a confidence from these sources that her server had been hacked and that it was about a 99% accuracy that it had been hacked by at least five foreign intelligence agencies, and they believe that things had been taken from that.
Jim, that must be a relatively recent discovery, since Comey clearly said back in July he couldn't tell one way or another if the server had been hacked because the security features on it were so poor. But if, in fact, this is true, this is by far the worst aspect of this whole thing.
It is. And I got to say, out of, you know, the entire Brett Baer report is like little bombshell, little bombshell, little bombshell. And then in the middle of it, this strikes me as a really big bombshell. And then he keeps going, little bombshell, little bombshell. It kind of gets tucked in amongst the rest of them. Now, I did an interview with Hugh Hewitt this morning, and we pointed out before yesterday, Greg, how certain were we that her private email server had been hacked by Foreign Intelligence Service?
Pretty sure.
If it was 99%, it was like 80-85%, right?
Right.
I mean, we thought it was pretty darn likely. The idea, I think this is a very different statement, because Comey's statement in the summer where he said, look, we cannot be certain of it. The people who do this sort of hacking are very good at covering their tracks and stuff. That was just enough of a fig leaf for the Hillary Clinton defenders to say, look, we don't even know if it was breached. We don't even know if anything of importance was stolen by foreign hackers or by foreign intelligence services. All of this is hypothetical. Well, with the, you know, the FBI saying there's a 99% chance this happened, they really can't hide behind that anymore. And this could be a very huge deal. And this takes it out of the theoretically this could have risked U.S. national security too. No, this clearly, this not just risked U.S. national security, it harmed U.S. national security. There are a bunch of foreign intelligence services walking around with a lot more information than they used to have because she chose to not use a secure server, because she refused to use an @state.gov email address. And if she had done that, we might be in better shape. Now, did this end up having real-world consequences? Did some of our sources, foreign sources, get wrapped up and you know, meet terrible ends because of this? We just don't know. But the consequence, you know, did they go into every foreign negotiation already knowing what Hillary Clinton's position was going to be and where their lines were? We don't know. We have to be able to know, we don't know if the intelligence community has even done that assessment. But it's certainly, we now have much more reason to think the worst. And, you know, can you elect somebody commander-in-chief after they have hurt U.S. national security that badly? I guess we're going to find out, but man, this is the easiest case any Republican candidate has ever had to make against a Democrat.
Yes, unfortunately, we know who's been tasked to make that case. So basically, Jim, if we're doing a few role reversals here, the foreign intelligence operatives from these nations are effectively Donna Brazil, getting the questions and the topics and the issues ahead of time, feeding them to the diplomatic team, so Hillary Clinton's at a disadvantage. So Hillary's actually in the Bernie Sanders role when it comes to those things.
To bring all of our scandals full circle, Greg. It's like the circle of life from The Lion King.
We're not even to the crazy martini yet. Let's go there. In addition to what Brett Baer heard from the FBI agent, two of them actually, he also talked a little bit about the evidence that's still coming in from multiple sources.
Meantime, the classified email investigation is being run by the National Security Division of the FBI. They are currently combing through former Democratic Congressman Anthony Weiner's laptop. Found emails that they believe came from Hillary Clinton's server that also appear to be new, as in not duplicates. Whether they contain classified material or not is not yet known, but will likely be known soon.
So, Jim, first of all, the they could all be duplicates line from Robbie Mook and all these other guys over the weekend. That's been proven false on top of the whole Harry Reid thing. So those lies got trashed pretty darn quickly. But you talked about the Anthony Weiner laptop with 650,000 emails on it. It takes us back to the weekend when folks like The Washington Post were reporting top Hillary Clinton aide Huma Abedin has told people she is unsure how her emails could have ended up on a device she viewed as her husband's computer, the seizure of which she has reignited the Clinton email investigation. So, Jim, it's just amazing that she could forget where those are unless she just never used it, but he still somehow had the access to the account.
That didn't really make a lot of sense to me at the time. And there's one potential explanation that makes sense here. The idea that, like, you know, you'd think you'd remember if you'd used your husband's email, you used your husband's computer at any point. I've never used it or anything like that. And then you actually have. Either at that point, either you're lying to the FBI or you have serious memory issues. Greg, could concussions be like contagious? can you have memory issues because your boss had a concussion a couple years ago or something? So, anyway, so there's that possibility. Now, what I was told this morning is that it is possible that under certain forms of Microsoft Outlook or various email programs, that if you're a network administrator and you connect to the server, that the server then can download everything over to your computer, I guess to make it easier or simple or something like that. So Huma says, honey, can I use your email? And Anthony Weiner shuts down all of his browsers because he doesn't want her seeing what he's looking at. And she uses it, that she connects to the Hillary server and everything comes down to his. And maybe that would explain it a little bit. But again, you got to figure at some point, you know, this would have crossed her mind or something. So if I'm Huma, I don't want to be running around saying, look, I have no idea what's in these emails. I have no idea how this got there. Oh, how could this be? You know, it feels like there's a lot of playing dumb going on around there. At least I'm hoping that, Greg, because otherwise it means these people really are as dumb as they seem and they have no idea how email works and how the server works. And they have no idea how to keep anything protected.
Like with a cloth?
Like with a cloth, exactly. Hacked? Like with a saw?
Yeah, I mean, with Hillary Clinton, I guess it's not the most outlandish thing that we're talking about. This much scandal just 4 or 5 days ahead of an election. But if you had told us this would be all three martinis in the last week of the campaign, I think we probably would have been a bit skeptical. But nonetheless, here we are.
We would have asked, how much is the Republican up by? Anyway, look, we'll see how things shake out. But even worst case scenario, Greg, see you at the impeachment.
Jim Carrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us today. And be sure to tune in again on Friday for the next Three Martini Lunch.